magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, September 10th, 2019. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. I'm especially excited. I think I've had more fun in the last 20 minutes meeting you or re-meeting with you. Actually, we only met one, maybe two other times ever.
Right.
But it's like, thank you, God, for the unity we have in Christ. It seems like we've been close or dear friends for many years. I have a lot of the same desires. We want people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We Amen. Appreciate biblical teaching. We all have a good sense of humor. We've been laughing nonstop. I think for about 15 minutes, but I'm excited to share two special guests with you in just a moment. But I want to recap yesterday's program. If you missed our memorization Monday verse for the week, it's Isaiah 26:3, which says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." So if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it was about having that peace of mind because we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the work that God did on our behalf. Nothing that we could have earned or determined or done on our own. It's because of his great grace and his mercy and him extending that gift of eternal life to us that we can have that peace and that assurance. So we appreciate Pastor Luke Rosenberger and the First Lady Ellen being in the studio. And if you listen carefully, you might have heard from their two children, Lucy and Elizabeth. They were in the studio while their other two children, David and Emily, were at school. But wait, we made the announcement. She's pregnant and number five is on the way. So that was a first ever on Great News Radio to hear that there's a pending new child that'll be born in the coming days. So Pastor Luke Rosenberger and his wife Ellen serve at East Bend. Many of you know it as East Bend Mennonite Church, just north of Fisher. But a great couple, have a heart for the Lord. And if you missed yesterday's program, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. So you can click on that and listen anytime. But today, oh, wow, we're having a fun time. And if you would have tuned in last week, you might have heard a new feature. It's a 1 minute program called Live Life Intentionally. Now, right now, it's on WGNN around 2:15. It's kind of a floating, depending on the song, before or after. It might be 2:14, 2:16, but around 2:15 on WGNN, you're hearing a 1 minute, kind of a devotional thought, an encouraging word, maybe a life lesson taught or something that you can learn. John and Kendra Smiley have been ministering throughout our area for a number of years, whether it's marriage conferences, you've emceed a number of different things. You've been on BGL, I know, for many years, along with probably nearly 400, 20 years?
21.
21 years. And so
I was about seven, I think.
That's right. Sure. You've written 10 books, three together, and I think your middle child, what's his name?
His name is Aaron.
Marianne, when she tunes in and hears this, I've already talked to you about this middle child, very successful, wonderful individual, but you have three sons.
Yes, three sons, three daughter-in-laws, and 11 grandchildren.
11 grandchildren.
And nine of them are girls.
Wow.
I know, we like change, you know, it's totally different. Yeah, now I have Barbie dolls and stuff.
Yeah, from three sons to all these grandchildren. So you've been heard on, like I mentioned, almost 400 radio stations for a number of years with your Live Life Intentionally, and again, written a number of books, so we're going to have you back multiple times. But we've had a lot of fun sharing, I guess, the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
And just your good senses of humor. So how about we start with a little of your faith journey, and you put this program together through some of your Bible reading, through life experiences, and through different methods that God puts on your heart. Hey, talk about this. Talk about the subject of being the parent. Talk about the subject of mentoring. Talk about the subject of being generous. So give us a snapshot into your life journey.
Well, basically, and I'm going to have to kind of step on John's comment when you ask him that as I start this. I grew up in a home where it was very important to be honest. It was very important to live a life that was exemplary, but no Jesus. No Jesus at all. So I didn't really know much about him. You know, I behaved myself because mostly I was afraid my mother would find out.
Right.
And she would have. But then I met this man when I was 16 years old, and he was so different. Yeah, first of all, he was absolutely
good looking,
so
right?
good looking.
Yeah, my gosh.
And he still is. But I met him when I was 16, and this is where I'm stepping on his kind of his story. He already knew Jesus, but he didn't know that it wasn't a good idea to be unequally yoked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No one had ever discipled him. He'd gone for Lord and gave his life to Christ beyond a shadow of a doubt. But nobody then was telling him, here's what you need to know now. So anyway, I just fell head over heels in love with him. Whatever that looks like when you don't know what love really is. But anyway.
And you're 16.
And you're 16. Yeah. That's right. So just a few years later, when I was 20, I married this man. And we immediately moved. I had finished 2 years at the University of Illinois. We immediately moved to Texas. And he was in pilot training at Webb Air Force Base. And I was there, not going to school, trying to find something to do. And I got to tell you the truth, Mark. He was driving me crazy. Hmm. He really was. Why? Because he had things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self, all those things. And I finally said to him one day, okay, what's the difference? You are obviously having a good time. And not just because he was learning how to fly airplanes, but you are obviously having a good time. And I am not having any fun at all. And this gentleman, in many ways, using that phrase is correct for him, said, well, I think the difference might be that I've asked Jesus into my heart to be my Savior. And I'm not sure if you have. Oh, yeah, he knew. He already knew, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let's go ahead with that. Come on, let's do it. We prayed, and I should have gone in the wilderness for at least 40 days. I was so excited. We went to the chapel there on base, and it must have showed, because the pastor there said, would you be willing to teach Sunday school? Sure. Now, I know nothing yet. Nothing. Yeah. But it was God's will, because I taught preschool. All I had to do was be one step ahead of the preschoolers and learn everything that I'd never learned in my life before.
And was it during that time, somebody that's tuned in, like maybe a skeptic or maybe a new Christian or somebody dabbling with, is there really such a thing as a God that loves me? So how did it become relational, where you knew that God had a personal interest in you? You obviously saw something different in John, and you obviously knew right from wrong, and you knew there's probably a God that'll judge, but it wasn't a relationship. So what made the difference? Or what did you see as the difference in her?
Yeah, it was immediate, and there was definitely a difference. But I think the biggest thing was Kendra's dad was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And when she left home to go to University of Illinois, she was ready to be out of that home because there were a lot of things going on that were difficult.
Sure.
And so at this point, when she accepted Christ, when we were in pilot training at Webb, she wanted to come back and go to the University of Illinois. To finish up her schooling, because there wasn't any school close to Webb Air Force Base. And so we asked her parents if she could come back. Mm-hmm. And we figured they would say no, but they said, oh, that will be fine. Mm-hmm. She went back home, and the power of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of her change was that before, when her dad was drunk, it very much upset her. And she was sarcastic, she was not nasty, but she wasn't nice.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, the Lord obviously had taken a hold of her, and the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. was involved in her life. And now she could go in and sit with her dad mm-hmm. when he was drunk and have a conversation, even though he was asking the same questions multiple times. And she could do it in love.
Right.
And if there was any evidence, I mean, it was all over, but that was evidence of, oh my goodness, what just happened here? And we don't know those seeds that she planted with her dad. Her dad died shortly after that. But for Kendra, it was just an absolute amazing thing. And in that, one of the things that Kendra, as she talks about it, was that she realized that God was smarter than she was. And don't we all, you know, hopefully get to that point in our walk that, oh my goodness, the Lord is so much smarter, and we just need to let him have control.
You know, it's interesting, years later, because my dad did die, I finished at U of I in 7 semesters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was exhausting.
Yeah.
Walked for grad, and my dad came from a poverty background. I mean, he lived in a terrible house. We have a picture of it when he was growing up. My grandma had a garden, and that's the only reason people didn't die of starvation. And actually, all of his brothers were alcoholics. Most of them, like my dad, a functional alcoholic. So I graduated, because he told John, when John asked for my hand in marriage, he said, now you make sure she finishes her education. Why? Because my dad, his education, he was a dentist. That's what kept him from poverty, was education. He didn't know about Jesus and how important that was, but he knew an education was. Well, I walked for my degree, and then he died shortly after that. Now, flash forward till our oldest one was about 4 years old, and we're sitting in our little house, and he and I are in the little office. I'm probably paying bills or whatever, balancing the checkbook-ish. And he says, he looks at me and goes, "Mama, are there mustaches in heaven?" You got to love that. And I'm like, and I really want to go, "Why do you ask?" But first, I tell him everything I can possibly remember about what God's word says about heaven. You know, that you'll recognize people and that there's no sorrow. Yeah. And I go through all that, and then I get to ask, "Why do you ask?" And he points behind me on the wall. I have on the shelf, I have a picture of my dad. Mm. And he says, "Well, Grandpa Doc," which is what John called my dad, Doc, "Grandpa Doc, in every picture I've ever seen, he always has a mustache. And if there aren't mustaches in heaven, how am I going to recognize him?"
Now, how old is he at this point?
4 years old.
4 years old.
And all I could think of was, God, maybe we are going to be able to see him in heaven. Mm. You know, I told John just the other day, I wish that I had been more open with him and sharing my faith. But you know what? God's got it.
Yeah. And as maybe a comforting word, because I'm sure many people that are listening or tuned in now can identify with that story or have that wonder, or, you know.
Yes.
You never know in those closing moments that somebody is aching or pain or what crosses their mind or what returns to their mind from a seed that was planted. The thief on the cross, all he knew in the final moments of his life is, "Lord, accept me into your future kingdom." And that was it. He didn't have to go out and live a perfect life.
Right.
Years ago, when our two oldest sons were in high school, there was a fatal car accident of two of their friends. And we went in to tell the boys. We got a phone call kind of in the middle of the night. And John went into the oldest son's room, and I went into the middle son's room. And I said, "You know, this is what happened in the night, or after they left this practice where everybody was for something, their production they were doing at school." I said, "They were both killed." And our middle son said, "Mom, that's horrible." He said, "Mom, earlier in the week, I shared the gospel with the kid that played football. As they were leaving football practice, he tells him that Jesus, and he didn't really accept Christ." And I said, "Oh, the best thing is, you know, you've never been in a car accident. I hope you never are. But when you start toward that whatever ditch or that tree, it feels like it's in slow motion. And you share the gospel. And we're just going to trust God that in those moments, as that moment, flash of a moment, as he's heading for that tree, he calls out to Jesus, knowing who he is. We'll see him in heaven."
You never know how circumstance, the person drowning, the person in the midst of a struggle. Now, John, when did Jesus become more real and personal and, you know, not just the Savior that we recognize on a Sunday morning, but when I make decisions, when I have hobbies or other activities? When did he really become, if you will, Lord over your life?
Well, that's really interesting because I'm a great deal different than Kendra. I started going to church when I was in her uterine. So my my mom and dad...
For those of you following along with us, you can look that one up in the dictionary later.
And so my mom and dad always went to Sunday school and church. My dad and both of them were Sunday school teachers. Mm-hmm. And so I was in church all the time, knew the right words, had a great time. It was a little Methodist church, and we had a fellow by the name of Jack Cayley. He was an evangelist that came to our little church in East Lynn, and he started talking about Jesus like it was a personal friend of his. And I sat in, as a 16-year-old, I sat in the audience and realized that, I knew about him, but I don't know him like Jack Cayley knows him. And before, it was a week-long revival back in those days. We had, you know, 4 or 5 day revivals. Well, this was a week-long revival. And about after the third day, I knew the Holy Spirit was all over me. And actually, I went and asked my dad. I said, "Tonight, can I go forward?" And he said, "Absolutely." And so anyway, the Holy Spirit, you know, touched my heart. I went forward in this little Methodist church, and it absolutely took. The Lord is all over me. And I didn't know a lot of stuff, but I knew that I had just made a big decision to give my life to Christ. And from that point on, I grew as much as I could as far as understanding and listening and what Jesus had for my life. But I think my biggest growth happened when, after I got out of pilot training, Kendra and I were both Christians. We went to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio, and we met a fellow there who was a friend, who was a great Bible teacher. And we sat, and it's really funny, Mark, because he asked us to come to this Bible study, and I said, no, no, no. And so he'd call up again, and I told Kendra I knew who it was. His name was Joe. And I said, tell Joe we're not interested in going to the Bible study. And he was persistent, and I said, okay, we'll go just to get him off our backs, right, okay? Right. And we went to this Bible study, and like probably so many stories you hear is, oh, my goodness, right, it changed our lives as far as getting, because I had never really sat down and done a Bible study and look at the Word of God and the truths and so on. So at that point in my life, that's when I really started growing. And like Kendra said before, I didn't know that you weren't supposed to be unequally yoked. I mean, I married an unbeliever, for goodness sake.
And what
would we all say? Woo. Yeah, what would we all say about that? Oh, John, don't do that. Right. And only by the grace of God.
Amen.
And what Kendra and I say now is God brought us together, and we work as a team. But that was something that if I knew a little bit more, I would have asked her and talked to her about Jesus before we got married instead of afterwards.
Yeah, I'd have been a Christian a lot sooner if he knew about the Word of God.
It's his fault.
Yes, it is.
So anyway, and that's when, and then the growth and us working together and stuff, hopefully as we walked, it's been a continual, you know, growing and understanding what God has for us.
Now, you mentioned the Holy Spirit was all over you.
Yeah.
For somebody tuning in, like, Holy Spirit, now, is that, like, scary thing? God was all over you. So you were having the sense that God was at work in, there was a stirring
Absolutely.
In your heart. You weren't necessarily hearing voices.
It's one of those, you know, it's the typical thing. You're sitting in the pew, and you feel, you know, that when the altar call is giving and you're sitting there and you feel uneasy and you know, oh my goodness, you know, what's going on? And we all can make a decision, no, no, and I want to, you know, walk out without it. Or you can say yes to what God's, and that's what I said. I was 16, and I'm thankful that I was 16 because I could say yes. I didn't have, you know, a whole lot of baggage and things that were around. But that's what I meant by the Holy Spirit just touching my heart.
And for somebody maybe unfamiliar with that term, like, there's God the Father, there's the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And it's a mystery even for those senior saints that have walked with God their whole life. Somehow God is three, yet he's one. He's fully God, sovereign over the universe, and yet he came as the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. So when we see Jesus, we in a sense see God, even though distinctly different but the same. And the Holy Spirit is like the complement of the three. That's why people say, and it's really interesting, maybe you'll write a book on this, Kendra, the fact that there was relationship in the Godhead with the three distinct, God the Father, God the Son, God the relationship. Love could exist because God could love because there was Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and yet he's one and yet he's three. And it's kind of an interesting concept that there was relationship in the Godhead.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to write that book.
That's right. It's beyond me. Oh, well, thank you, God, for the unique ways he's working. And I trust and believe somebody tuning in today is maybe grappling with, well, I don't read the Bible because it's foreign or it's so hard to understand, but maybe the element is they haven't asked Jesus into their heart. They haven't asked the Holy Spirit to guide them through the reading. Or there might be somebody who's a Christian that just doesn't read the Bible because they, oh, I don't know if it's that important. But like your experience, when you say, Lord, teach me a lesson today from your word, your inspired word, there will become a stirring in their heart, and
Amen.
They'll be energized and encouraged.
One of the things in the gentleman John was talking about, Joe, that was really did spur us on to learn more about the Word of God. He had an interesting little habit. He would say, on guard. And what that meant to him was, and then he'd quote a Bible verse. When he felt like he was maybe contemplating something that didn't line up with what God's Word said, or something was happening that, he just knew he had to be on guard to what the enemy wanted to do. And so he'd yell it out. He was a funny guy. He probably still is. And then he would quote that scripture. When I think of Joe, I always think of that.
Mm. Well, you mentioned the scripture earlier, that the fruit of the Spirit's the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, that was exhibited in John, which is just wonderful about Scripture and Scripture memory of yesterday, just putting God's Word in your heart, finding the peace of God, direction for your life. The Bible is, if you will, the owner's manual. It's the way to live our lives, but it's also a love letter. It conveys God's love and care and compassion for us. And so, Kendra, maybe in our closing couple minutes, so somebody's tuned in. They grew up in a family that was dysfunctional, whether there was alcoholic parents or maybe the father was absent or abusive or whatever the circumstance was. They never connected with a loving God because it was never modeled through a loving dad. What words of wisdom or what could you share to that individual that's just struggling with identity? They don't feel like they're cared for or it wasn't exhibited in their family.
One of the things that I did, John shared that I hadn't finished college and we were far away in Texas. There was no college there for me to continue going to, so I went back to live with my parents. And by the way, I did not want to do that. In fact, John said, let's ask your parents if you can go home and stay with them for another semester. And I said, well, okay, because they're not going to let me. And we asked them that day. I still remember sitting around the dining room table down in Texas, and John asked him, and my dad said, sure, that'd be great. Yeah, and you can drive my car down to campus, and Mom will just take me to work. And my mom says, yeah, and I'll do your laundry and I'll cook all the meals. I'm like, quit agreeing with this idea. But that whole thing of when I started being around my parents, it was a very difficult thing. And you know what? I incorrectly prayed, God, change Dad. God, change Dad. Please, God, change Dad. Until I shut my mouth and I listened and I, no audible voice, but as close as I've ever gotten, let me change you.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that's what we need to do is let God change us so that maybe our circumstances won't change, but how we handle those circumstances definitely worked in my life to have God change me.
And I'm thinking sometimes we need to change our opinion or our view of who God is.
Yeah.
We might see him as this authoritarian power that's just going to pulverize us if we sin, not realizing that he loves us,
Amen.
He cares for us, he's the best thing, and he's for us, and that he wants to bring healing and hope. And when we get that perspective, it's like, really, God's going to walk me through this day. He's going to look out for my safety, my care.
He's going to hold my hand.
Right.
We have all these little grandkids. And boy, you know, I say parking lots are really very dangerous, guys.
Yeah.
Grab a hand. And there may be a string of like two on one side of me and two on the other. And we're holding hands. And they know Grandma will say stop.
Yeah.
And God will say stop, too.
Yeah. Well, if you just tuned in, I've had John and Kendra Smiley in the studio with me, one of maybe many future visits. Kendra has written 10 different books, three of them together with John. Shares a one-minute devotional thought, if you will, a program called Live Life Intentionally. Currently, it's on WGNN at 2:15 in the afternoon, and we'll see when we can fit it on WGNJ, maybe multiple times. It's a bunch
good
of
idea.
Good different topics, probably on about 400 stations. They're added every day. It's hard to keep track of all of them, but we appreciate your service to the Lord, your involvement in the community. Go Illini, you graduated from there. And
amen.
Live locally. And and then the best thing, John and I both agree on, we love Alistair Begg and tuning in
that's
for
right.
Bible teaching. So thank you,
preach
John.
That.
Yes. All right, everyone. Well, it's Testimony Tuesday time, so live out your testimony, bringing healing and hope to a hurting world. And pray up first thing this morning or pray up in the evening that God will use your testimony to be that friend. Fragrance of Christ, and will be a positive influence on those around you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.